Representative Paul Tonko is a Democrat in New York's 20th district. He's been in office since 2009, and he has town meetings, right? You do have town meetings.
Oh, yeah.
You?
We've had very active town meetings. The interaction is wonderful. I believe we had about 1,200 people at Schenectady County Community College, and some people had left because it was tough. We had 6 overflow rooms and a library that President Mono provided for us. And he did an excellent job. The campus did an excellent job to respond to our needs. But very huge crowd, a lot of interaction, very much a bit of solidarity. There were issues across the board. And I think these town halls have taken on an organic quality where they just bubble up from the grassroots and look to engage with their representatives in Washington because of some of the severe messages that have been shared out there.
Well, some of your colleagues have been doing town halls, but they want to avoid, I think, having people in the room with them because they think they're shouters and stuff. So they do them TV. They're in the room, but everybody else isn't. Is that a bad idea?
You know, any communication is good, but what I like about town halls is that we can facilitate community discussion. And I think communication right now, not just constituent to representative, but constituent to constituent is very helpful. I know that when I've done certain tours, when I've done various workshops, we do these talks with Tonko where we'll bring different perspectives on a common issue together. Everyone learns at the table. They get stretched by each other's comments. And I think the role we can play and the good that comes with town halls is that it's a learning curve for everyone, not just the legislator, not just the Congress rep, but for all the people that attend that and beyond, who will read about the accounts of the debates. And that's where I think a great service is provided, by enabling people to have that neighborly conversation. And let's face it, we're, you know, there with technology, there's an opportunity to be more and more removed from the greater element, the greater synergy of community.
TWT, Talks with Tonko. I like it. It has a certain
TWT,
you know,
yeah.
Symmetry.
Yeah.
It has a certain symmetry to the whole thing there. Let's talk about Syria.
Sure.
Everybody wants to know what really happened there. That we dropped the bomb because they dropped the, allegedly because they dropped, you know, the chemicals, and then they came back and they dropped some more bombs, but not chemicals this time. And we called the Russians. We said, hey, Russians, we're coming. The Russians certainly called the Syrians and said, hey, they're coming. And the planes were continuing to roar out of there a few minutes after our $500 million or maybe $1 billion worth of Tomahawks landed. If that isn't enough of a hint to tell you where I'm going, maybe you could tell us something.
Yeah. Well, you know, the attack on Syria after the atrocities committed by the Syrian government, by the leadership, you know, provide an understandable reaction. You know, there's, you know, there's a vengeance that, and, you know, a satisfaction that might come with that. But what I think is so important right now is for leadership in this nation, specifically the Trump administration and the president, for certain, need to put that in the context of a plan. And there has to be consultation, I believe, with the intelligence community, the foreign service community, the law enforcement community. All of these experts that were not consulted when the refugee ban was designed and put forth, a ban that, by the way, I believe inspired, offered the best opportunity for ISIS to recruit. Those kinds of failures come, Alan, when we don't do the networking and don't build the consensus on policy. And so I think with this attack on Syria, while many would understand it to be a response, a rightful response to the Syrian atrocities, where they put out so many people, including many, many children. While it's understandable, I think that, you know, this country has grown very weary of war. The taxpayer is tired after a 16-year, 17-year commitment in Afghanistan, a number of situations in the Mideast. The troops, our troops, are tired. They're devoted, dedicated, well-trained, best in the world. They're exhausted. So we need a plan that guides us. And I do not think that Congress should, that the powers of Congress should be circumvented. You know, all of this AUMF, the Authorization for Use of Military Force, needs to be debated. That whole concept needs to be talk through, and I think the merits or lack thereof of going into maybe a certain style plan ought to be the debate, a debate before Congress.
And how are your colleagues feeling about this, both Republicans and Democrats?
Well, they're on both sides. I think there are mixed reactions and a number of people saying, here we go again. You know, if this is, I don't think America has the tolerance for a long-term commitment to a war here, which, you know, we saw what happened over the last decade or two with trillions worth of investing in that activity, denied domestic programming in this country. You know, and on an earlier show, we had spoken about water infrastructure. Infrastructure in general has, you know, we just had the 30th anniversary of the collapse of the Thruway Bridge in my former assembly district, my home county of Montgomery in upstate New York. You know, those are stark reminders that there's a lot of work to be done on a domestic front. So I think the taxpayers are somewhat tired and exhausted, and they deserve, they have a right to know just what the bigger plan is. How is this attack part of a greater plan? And also, we can't be the world's cop. We need a commitment from our allies. We need to share with them our thinking so that we can have a very strong partnership with our allies. After we may have scolded them in the earlier days of the Trump administration. And so there's a lot of testing that needs to be done and a lot of confirmation, reaffirmation of where we are as partners.
Are you rejecting the idea that maybe Trump's methodology is, I'll react one way one day and a different way the other day, and you'll never know where I am?
Oh, I certainly,
you know what I'm saying?
I certainly reject that because, A, it's tough on our troops. They need to know what the mission is in order to be fully involved mentally as well as physically. And I think also, again, it's a shabby way to address a situation if you're looking for a strong partnership with our allied forces. And, you know, this is all coming at a time, too, when there's been great emphasis on checking out the relationship with Russia, of this country with Russia, and they're hacking and they're involving themselves as a nation, as a leadership, with American politics.
Yes, you're right. But how scared are you, Paul Tonko, about the Russian connection here? We now have a Secretary of State, Tillerson, going over to visit Moscow and talking tough. We have a president who has done nothing but talk about how wonderful Putin is and all the rest of it. What do you make of that lack of symmetry?
Well, it's not only lack of symmetry, it's the record and the style of the Putin administration, their leadership. I mean, it is pretty un-American. Some of this response when people disagree is...
They get killed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, friendships here should be with countries and leaders that are of the same thinking so that that common thread of civility and democracy and freedom and responsibility can be shared in a way that makes us best partners with each other. I, as someone whose, you know, whose childhood was impacted by, you know, all the news about a Cold War and the concerns we should have with Russia and the caution by which we should proceed, those things still live with many in my generation. And I think that this casual move towards Russia without really knowing, again, what that Russian partnership is. And there have been so many forces that surround President Trump that have had deep involvement as the facts continue to unfold, that information unfolds. And so I think there's a lot of coterminous activity that needs to be had so that we can be doing the best and most effective thing out there as it relates to our national security.
Do you think that the Russian investigations, you have a sense the Russian investigations will go somewhere? I'm very concerned about the FBI and the director, you know, coming to the White House.
And Nunes, and even
Trump.
And the chairman
and Nunes,
of the,
yeah.
You know, in the Intelligence Committee. Yeah, I have a concern, but I really do think we're best if we can somehow convince in a bicameral, bipartisan way, the forces that will decide and design here to move with an independent investigation. I think for the sake of this nation...
Well, what are the chances of that?
Well, I thought they were slimmer than 50-50, but with the with the performance of Chairman Nunes, I think it's kind of like box them a bit in terms of what they can, how deeply they can protest and retreat or deny, dismiss the idea. I think it's, I think it becomes even more important. The public sentiment, I think, is on the side of full disclosure, independent review.
Our friend Paul Tanco, congressman from the 20th district, very nice number 20, in office since 2009. Paul, thanks for joining us. And when we come back the next time, I'm sure we'll find something else to talk about.
Alan, it's always a pleasure.